Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Should we begin?
Is it just me and you?
Yes.
Okay.
You want to wait or begin?
Okay. So hard to find the floor. I haven't found my place again.
Understood.
God bless you.
We're starting tonight with the verse 348.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Commentary on the Zohar from Parsha Lech Lecha, Pasuk 348. I'm sorry?
No, I just said excuse me. I thought I made a noise by pulling my chair. And I see that's what I'm trying to get my chair close to me, so let me get it so I won't make any more noise. I'm sorry.
It's not a problem.
I was last minute, I guess you can tell. So.
Yes.
I'm ready. Thank you.
Okay. Pasuk 348. Amar Rabbi Abba Sakain Inun Sadikayayo Finish Machon Mit Atrin Kame Malka Kadisha Adla Yeton Le Alma Deha Ke Taninan Beha Hio Shata Deapik Kud Shabarihu Nishmatin le'alma, kol inun ruchin, v'nishmatin kol ho, kalilan, dekar v'nukva, demitcha beram, kachada. The translation, Rabbi Abba responded, happy are the righteous, whose souls are adorned as they appear before the Holy King. Before coming to this world, to enter the body, because we have learned that when the Holy One, blessed be He, sends the souls forth to the world, all of these spirits and souls include a male and a female joined together. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. Do you think that when the male and female souls appear to Hashem, He puts them back together to be separated again during the descent to the physical world? Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I think I have a couple of questions and then a comment. I would have thought the soul, I'll say the comment first. I would have thought the souls would have come separately and Hashem would have introduced them you know, that's, I find it hard, mainly because of free will. I just think that that's the way it would have been, rather than coming as a couple and then separating and then sending them separately into a body. You know, it seemed like he would have introduced the two souls. And anyway, that's my opinion. Maybe I want them to be a romantic. Maybe that's what it is. You know, I don't know. And I guess because I don't know if you'd call it a meditation, but that really impressed me, that first verse, you know, knowing that we come before Hashem together. And as I was pondering it, which I wasn't thinking of it as a meditation, but I guess it was a meditation, I felt, you know, I wondered, what would I have said and what would Hashem said to us? And I felt like it would have been an introduction. And he would have said, you know, my name and then his name. But then I saw a picture of me doing a little curtsy. And then I saw, I'm going to say Tony for lack of a better, you know, choice of words, kiss me on the forehead. And all of a sudden, a memory came back to me, because we've been married over 60 years, but that was how he kissed me the first time. He kissed me on the forehead, which was a shock, because, you know, in 57, you know, boys didn't go to kiss you on the forehead. But I don't know if that, you know, I'm sure I didn't leave the earthly plane, but anyway. Okay, so that was, I guess, the feeling why I felt like I had to explain to you why I felt like, seemed like the souls would come before him separately. And then would be the joining. But if the Zohar says it's not that way, well, then it's not that way. Or maybe it's my truth, or maybe it's just, you know, my imagination. I don't know.
If you reread the verses we've read already in this section, you'll find that it is quite possible that they come together separately, but they're not introduced because they know each other.
Mm-hmm. But would, because of previous reincarnations? Is that how they know each other?
What is the meaning of a soulmate? It is the only opposite soul, the female to the male or the male to the female. It is the mm-hmm. only one that will motivate you to achieve your tikkun. If you are married in the physical world to someone who is not your soulmate, they're going to motivate you to correct previous mistakes, but they're not going to motivate you to truly achieve your tikkun. You may be self-motivated to achieve that tikkun. But the soulmate relationship in the physical world is the only way that you can be motivated to actually achieve and complete your tikkun. The soulmate is always in unity. The soulmates may give permission to other people to marry in the physical world because they know they don't have the merit to they're not ready for that last completion. So they give someone else permission to be married. you're my girlfriend. Go ahead and help him. That kind of conversation, that kind of approach. But a soulmate, you just know. You fit together so well. Not necessarily that you're going to never argue. Not necessarily that you're it's going to be a constant yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. It's going to be what is absolutely needed at that moment to make your completion. You know, I joke sometimes that the best Kabbalistic marriage is that of the shrew. The Taming of the Shrew from, I think it would say Shakespeare, but I'm not sure.
Mm. I think so.
But it's the idea that the only person that would get him motivated to get off the couch and to do something was the shrew. That's the soulmate relationship. So, yes, they may come together in front of Hashem separately, but it's not being introduced. It's knowing that this is the right partner for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, saying the souls are adorned. Is that with their marriage? That have been earned in a previous lifetime? I guess I should keep on.
Yes. What it amounts to is that that these are the righteous people who in previous incarnations have elevated. That's the adornment they carry. They carry their mitzvot from their previous lifetimes.
Okay, I wondered too if it was the crown that we get, you know, those 30 days from Nisan to Eor, that you came out with your crown as well. You know, I know those things, sometimes it's hard to know if it's a metaphor or if it's really, you know, the real thing.
Well, so far in this section, all we're talking about is spiritual worlds and spiritual events. So it would be a metaphor. The word adorned is a metaphor for the person is wearing the garment of the spiritual world. What is that garment? It's the mitzvot they did in the previous incarnations. And the code word is righteous, tells you that.
Right. Okay. All right, then the difference between, it says all of these spirits and souls. And I think we mentioned one time what was the difference between a spirit and a soul. But I need refreshing.
The spirit is the nefesh and ruach. The spirit is the ruach. The soul is the neshama.
Okay, that wasn't too far back that we had that. But
remember,
I couldn't quite.
Remember, a nefesh cannot, once it's past the first lifetime, the nefesh either completes itself in the first lifetime or it has to wait until it completes itself with someone else. And it has to then wait for the ruach and the neshama to complete itself, complete the tikkun, for it to come back together. But that will only be when the Mashiach comes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there's only two words used and not the three. Because the nefesh cannot combine with the ruach until the Mashiach. On those few people who achieve their tikkun in their first incarnation, they can remain together. But it's so rare that there'd be no reason to describe it this way in this particular pasuk. Is it clear?
Yes, but I don't know how you remember all of that. Oh, God.
The more you study, the better your memory will be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where it comes from.
Well, see, with me, it was never a lot at one time. I took one subject and I stayed on that one subject. And so going back and forth and then just the dailiness of,
I
my grandsons. I can't, I just don't have the time that I want. I need 48-hour days.
Well, none of us have the time. We just, you learn patience and then you understand.
Right.
And if you're trying to memorize this and put it together, as you grow spiritually, those memories will come to you. And as you grow spiritually, when God forbid your time is over and you return and go through this cleansing process called hell, and then you come together and then you're standing in front of God until the rest of the souls complete their tikkun. If you don't have to go down again, it's no problem. You stay together as soulmates. But it's really, you don't stay together because the women stay in one place and the men stay in another.
Mm-hmm.
As we'll study eventually. Because a male, what does a female have an affinity to a male? Or a male, what affinity does a male have to a female? You know that right now, even in this generation, which is slowly moving towards the unity, where a woman can study and have an interaction with a male who's on the same spiritual level and studying the same material, just as you and I are right now. But what affinity do you have for me? What affinity do I have for you? And I'm not talking about intimacy. I'm just talking about, do we have subjects that are in common?
Well,
if you saw me walking on the street, you have many subjects that you enjoy that I don't. And I have many subjects that I enjoy that you don't. Because males and females are different.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, males and females are opposites. So in the spiritual level, they will only come together on Friday night for the intimacy, for the creation of new souls. Shall we try another verse?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Okay. Verse 349. Ve'it masran bida ve'ahu mimana shalichal ve'it pakad al yidu ehom. Divnei nasha, belaila shemeya, Usha ta denachatin, beit mas ran bidoy, mit parshin uzimnin, dachdim min daviatet, viachet leho bivne nasha. They are handed over to a governor who is an emissary in charge of human conception, and whose name is Lila. The English word, the Hebrew word would translate as night. So when they descend to the world and are handed over to that governor, they are separated from each other. Sometimes one precedes the other in coming down and entering the body of a human being. My commentary is the pasuk is clear as written. There is no comment by Rabbi Ashlag. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I think the name is so close to LL. And seeing that Lila, I mean, I knew it meant night, but being the emissary in charge of human conception, I'm not sure I understand what that means.
This is an angel, obviously. And the word Lila has a yud in it, and it has a hay in it. So it's an angel who's been given the task for any intimacy to have physical conception. It arranges it. It communicates with the souls attached to the sperm. It's been told by Hashem, this couple is to conceive this people, this human being, on this night. And so that's what it arranges.
Okay.
Remember yesterday you described how all these different attitudes and different actions had to come together, and it's so amazing how that comes together.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the same idea. Something has to arrange that the egg is ready and the sperm is ready, and that these are the souls that are being put together.
Mm-hmm.
Conception is not easy. But we know that conception is in the hands of Hashem. Not conception in the aspect of how it works, but in the concept of who is going to be with who.
Mm-hmm.
But the angel is given the task to put it all together and make all of those different step-by-step connections in order for that conception to be that particular soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we already knew that it took three, you know, the husband, the wife, and Hashem. I didn't take it down to that degree of thinking that there was an emissary, a governor, even in charge of getting the sperm to meet the egg. I mean, you know, this is new stuff.
Well, it is new stuff, but it's more importantly, it's how to understand the complexity and the simplicity at the same time.
Right.
The overall image and the details.
Mm-hmm. And not just conception, in everything that goes on in your life. And every individual in the whole world, and probably not even every individual. It's probably every rock, every river, every leaf, every tree, every ant, you know.
Exactly. Exactly true. Exactly true. And it's so beautiful to have that perception.
Mm-hmm.
To be given this information.
I know. Oh, by the way, you know, I said I didn't have time to be concerned about Tony's blood work that the doctor had said could be serious. It could be a bone marrow problem, and I knew what that meant, or it could be nothing. Well, and then after he was supposed to know in a week, but then last week they said he needed to go back for more blood work. They didn't explain anything, but they called today and said everything was normal, and the reason that they had him come a second time is because the doctor wanted the test performed twice to make sure he got the same results. And his score wasn't, it was supposed to be 8, and it was 8.2. And he was just being super careful because he had been so sick last year that if it was the beginning of something, he wanted to catch it at the beginning stages. So, you know, so everything has turned out well over that today. But I was so busy for the last 3 weeks, I didn't have time to think about it. But I got to think that was probably the way that kept me from worrying about it. You know, it's a different situation from the time before. You know, you get in, you have these situations that arise that you have to face that are crises. Well, the last one, my thought was, the doctor saying it was always cancer, and I thought, well, we're going to be the first. It's not going to be, and that just came out of me, you know. So this time I didn't have time. I was just different projects, and this one calling me about for something, and the eye surgery, and you know, my bathtub overflowing, and just all kind of things, you know. The grandson leaving for France, and so I didn't have to even do binding by striking because I didn't have the thoughts, you know, any kind of negative thoughts to come. I did look up. I knew what he was talking about because that's basically what his brother had passed away from. And so I knew to check the albumin if it was bone marrow. And his albumin on his last blood work was exactly where it was supposed to be. And so I felt like it's not going to be the bad one. It'd be something simple. And then after that, I just forgot about it. So I really think that was experiencing, you know, peace in a fairly easy situation, you know. So,
yes.
So I think all the business little projects that got, you know, thrown at me. I don't mean that in a negative way. One after the other, it actually helped me. So I didn't even have to practice diving by striking. So anyway, Baruch Hashem, the test was normal. So, and I thought that was unusual for a doctor to do a test twice just to prove to himself that it was okay. Everything was okay. So.
And as you were speaking, what flashed for me was you were so busy during the 3 weeks so that you wouldn't worry. And that's how you passed over. That's how you'd be with the peace, the completion that was injected through our meditations. It was handled for you in this way of being busy.
Mm-hmm. And see, everything that I did was a mitzvah. You know, I'm calling it business, but it was this one that needed something and somebody else that needed, you know, so it's good. It was a good thing.
It is all good. It's all beautiful.
Yeah. Baruch
Hashem.
I love it when we have these times where we really see Hashem working in our lives.
Yes, that is such a gift.
Because it's not every, it's not all the time. You know, you just, you have periods where I'd like to see it where it's every day, all the time. But at least it lets us, you know, catch a glimpse and then have something so that the next time when you have enough devices, you have something to look back on and remember. So I'm going to let you go because I know you, you need to go. Thank you for today.
Right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Shalom.